Hi, my name's Russell Norman and welcome to Blue Marble Storytellers, bringing you great stories from around the globe. On this episode, we bring you an intriguing story by Hannah P. Simmons and read by Tyson D. Hamilton. Hannah is a hoarder of tea, of swords and of books. She loves to read fantasy novels, especially anything by Holly Black, and is also a mystery lover. She has a degree in English and creative writing. So please enjoy this great story.
My dear Dr. Mortem, I am writing to you on behalf of one of my most difficult cases. I thought perhaps you could help me. Yes, I realize this is highly irregular given the nature of our individual practices, but I find myself at a loss. My patient is one Liana Richards, and before you start, I assure you that she is much too young to have earned a file in your cabinet just yet. Then again, so was Henry. I believe he came to you as a result of the plague. You've gotten a good deal of business from that matter, but I digress. You see, I first met Liana beneath an apple tree. I'm sure you'll see the humor. She was 6 years old. I remember how she laughed. That was what gained my attention. It was filled with such a joy. I don't expect you to understand, but you can try. It was an unbridled laugh. There was no weight, no worry, nothing to taint it. Most laughter is a ray that pushes its way defiantly through the clouds. This laugh was pure light. The heat of the sun amid an empty sky rising over untamed seas of emotion. "What makes you happy, Liana?" I asked. She twirled. "Do you ever twirl?" "I suppose not." "Perhaps you should." "Elephants," she cried. I will admit, I giggled. It seemed appropriate at the time, such a strange and curious and wonderful answer. "Well, what else?" I pressed. "Chocolate milk." "I made a glass just the other night. I would be lying if I said this memory did not prompt me. I stood there at the counter, shoveling spoons of cocoa into my glass, watching the tiny grains disappear. I tried to make a pattern, but my spoon was not an accurate tool. Still, I tried, and I smiled. I discovered the chocolate milk tastes like a smile. I kept an eye on Liana for several years, but inevitably I lost track of her. That is the trouble with dealing with such an enormous volume of cases. You tend to only see the patient at a crucial moment. When I did finally encounter her again, she was 13. And very 13. Chubby, braces, bangs, you understand. But I knew it was her. The laugh was the same. Only it was shorter this time. The bullying did that. It made her a little quieter. Still, I sat with her and whispered, "What makes you happy, Liana?" She didn't twirl this time, but I hadn't expected her to. Instead, she simply opened her arms to the sky and closed her eyes. "Music," she said. "Music that makes your heart beat faster, so you have to move, you have to." And she danced to the drums only she could hear. It was wild and untamed, beautiful dance. She became so lost in it that she could not hear the jeers or see the mocking glances. And she laughed. That warm, sunshine laugh. I hear lots of music, but I admit sometimes I forget to listen. So often the music is the accompaniment of the day when it should be the performance. The house should then dim till you stand alone, spotlighted on the stage, spark to life when the first note plays, and you should let it play, let it fill the space so you have to move. You have to. Forgive me, I digressed again. I should give you the crux of the matter. I lost track of her again. I caught glimpses here and there. She went to college, toured with the choir, hiked mountains, fell in love. But something happened. What exactly, I'm not certain. My secretary left some notes on my desk, but they are not detailed. Then she sent something else that was greatly disturbing to me. A box. Filled with fragments, little pieces of delicacy. The box came with Liana's name on it. I picked one of the pieces up and I was suddenly overcome by a sickened sensation, and a single word struck the depths of my mind. Loss. I put it aside and reached for another piece. The feeling returned, but with a different word resounding within me. Betrayal. The horror continued as I held moments of fear, anger, hurt, suddenly realizing these were not discarded pieces of refuse, they were pieces of her, slowly, painfully chipped away. I have found her once more. She is a woman now, and quite lovely, I think. But she is changed. So much of her is missing. So much of her is fragmented in that dreadful box. I asked her, "What makes you happy, Liana?" And she did not answer. That is why I have come to you. Because, to put it simply, I am not ready to lose her. We still have elephants to discuss, you see. And I need the sunlight. So, my dear Dr. Mortem, I implore you. Should the file present itself for your review, do not take this case. Sincerely, Professor Vita.
We trust you enjoyed this story, and we really appreciate you listening to this podcast and supporting the great writers featured. To further support the writers, we'd also like to encourage you to share the links to this podcast far and wide. Well, that's it for this episode. So on behalf of Deidre and myself, until next time, thanks for listening, and bye for now.